Hey, it's Mark Schlereth of the Sinking Truth Podcast. The NFL playoffs are here, and I'll be breaking down every matchup as we get toward the big game. Join my co-host Mike Evans and I on the Sinking Truth Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get rolling on what we call Tuesday here in New Orleans on Radio Row. As you can see by watching us live this morning on the stream, Dusty is nowhere to be found. And we have no idea where the hell he is. I mean,
New Orleans,
you were supposed
him.
To bring him back last night. I can only be your dad for so long trip until you got to find out where Dusty is. I left you responsible last night for him. I went to bed about 7 o'clock.
That was your first mistake.
Let them go out in New Orleans all night long and there's no Dusty to speak of this morning, so hopefully we'll find him in a gutter or in a trash bin, or I don't know where we're going to find him at some point today, but eventually Dusty will show up once he gets out of the gutter and decides to come to work. Oh, there he is! Out of the New Orleans gutter!
Keep your friends closer and your enemies away. That's the saying they give these
days.
That
was actually pretty quick you made it back. I didn't think there was any chance you'd make it back, so
Bob
there it is.
Fesco.
Well,
not
doubting you, doubting the ride share services and all the transportation.
Very good people. But there's an important piece of equipment you have to have here, and your boy didn't have it.
That's right. If you don't have your pass, you ain't getting in.
No doubt about it.
And the good thing is we're close, so it wasn't that big a deal.
Yeah.
But we made it. We're in. We're ready to go. And opening night last night. You guys had your first opening night experience down at the Super Bowl. Was it everything you dreamed of, as they like to say, at opening night for you guys last night? Like, what expectation going in versus what you were able to actually see and get out of opening night? Because I know everybody, like my wife always has these grandiose expectations, and I never live up to them, right? Like,
yeah.
So I don't know if you guys had expectations going in, what you thought you were going to see, do, deal with, and get out of opening night. But I thought, you know, for all intents and purposes, and we'll get into some of the stuff that I was hearing last night, I thought it was a pretty good opening night for everybody last night.
No, I had a blast. I thought it was interesting how, you know, you watch all these on TV. It was kind of the same concept, right? Like, one team comes out, they put them on the stage, their cheerleaders are there, song and dance, and then to the podium. It seemed like it was a lot quicker than when you looked at your watch once you were ready to get out of there.
Yeah.
But it was cool to kind of see all those people. You saw some of the athletes that were like, this is annoying, we've done this before, I just want to go play football on Sunday. Totally get that. But seeing the, you know, certain celebrities that were there, seeing certain people that were there, seeing other fans, like, it was crazy to me to see that, you know, I think Mac and I had a guy that was behind us while we were waiting when Travis Kelce was talking and they were interviewing, like, all the players on the stage with Chris Hansen. Check that. Scott Hansen.
Mm-hmm.
They were talking to him on the stage and they were still booing Travis Kelce and telling him that he had the referees.
Oh.
So that was good. And he was wearing a Green Bay jersey.
And that was great.
So I guess Green Bay's even against the Kansas City Chiefs. The guy could not let it go. Constantly was like, and you have the refs, Travis.
Refs in your pocket, Trav.
As if he could hear you.
Yeah.
So that was cool. Running into Tech 9 of all people.
Yeah, right. Awesome.
Walk in. Mm-hmm. That was interesting. Matt got to take a celebrity off his bucket list.
Yeah, fanboyed out for a second.
To that. So, I mean, no, I think it was everything. I don't know, if you're really into football, like, we're lucky enough to have this job to where this can come with that perk, or that perk can come with this job. But, I mean, that's something that I would definitely, you know, I don't know, experience, I guess. I mean, it's kind of like an all-star game, like a home run derby, I would say. It's similar to that. Like, I've never been to one. I've heard people that have gone and been like, yeah, it's cool for like 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, oh. And then you're like, yeah, then you just sit there and you're watching batting practice with 70,000 people.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So, I mean, this was essentially a media day, but with 70,000 people.
And people paid to get into that
last
night. Yeah. Good money maker for the NFL last night. But you mentioned guys being dialed in, and I think that's where we need to start tonight. I don't know why I was going to say tonight. But that's where we need to start today because it does feel like night, right? It's New Orleans. The clocks never turn.
Right.
But I think that's where we should start today because it all, to me, revolves around Patrick Mahomes last night. And I watched Patrick Mahomes come out. I posted the video on X, and I was actually looking back at it this morning. And it was like a few Chiefs players were kind of walking out before the big event started. It was Andy Reid and his wife Tammy and Patrick and Travis and Chris Jones, the main guys that were on the stage last night, right? And I look back at that video this morning, and Patrick shot me this glare, like this, like, you know, I'm trying to do it for the cameras, like this, like, just dialed in glare. Like, go back to my X feed and look at that Twitter page and look at that video. And like, I looked at him like, damn, he's kind of dialed in. And then they showed him on stage, right? And, like, everybody's kind of having a good time, if you will, and fun. And Patrick has got kind of this scowl on his face, and I posted that picture as well up on Twitter. I'm like, he looks like dialed in a big way. And so that was kind of my impression of seeing the Chiefs players come out onto the field. And then as I do, I start talking to some people throughout the organization and they're close to the team and whatnot. And I kept saying the same thing to people. Patrick's dialed in, man. Patrick's dialed in. And one of the people with the, you know, close to the organization has said to me, they go, you have no idea how effing dialed in Patrick Mahomes is for this game. And I'm like, okay, that's a good thing right now for every Chiefs fan to hear, because here we are on Monday night and Patrick Mahomes on that stage. And I don't know if you guys took the same impression away. Clearly didn't want to be there. Like, he had better things to do, like being in that playbook and getting ready for this football game. But he looked like he was dialed in, and that was the sentiment that I was getting from many different people that I talked to throughout the organization last night. This game is as important to Patrick Mahomes as any game ever. He wants this one as more than anybody else. And I can tell you as well from the folks that I talked to last night, this organization wants this three-peat more than anything else, and they will end up getting this three-peat because when Patrick wants something, as we know, Patrick goes out there and gets it.
Yeah, it's an interesting way to look at it because I think, I don't know, the first one might have, there. Every title has like an owner, right, I think? Like the first one was for maybe Lamar.
For Andy.
Or for Andy.
For Andy, I think,
then
yeah.
Then it was for like the Hunt family.
Yeah.
Then it was for somebody else. And this one kind of seems the city.
Yeah.
I think the city's got one. Andy's got one. The Hunt family's got another one. That's the three.
Yeah, right.
And then you think of the fourth. It's like, well, when you have the luxury of having all these titles, you have the ability to hand them out more often to others.
Right.
This kind of seems like this one's for Patrick.
Right. Like right? This one's for John type moment, you know?
Yeah, like,
right.
Never been done before. It's clearly obvious why they're able to do this.
Right.
I mean, I get it's a team sport, but they're not here if 15's not the quarterback.
Right.
Hell, let alone they're not winning more than two if 15's not the quarterback.
No.
So it kind of feels like, you know, you watch the snippets and the clips of, like, what last season was. And we always go back to the onstage, you know, conversation they had with Chris Jones of, let's go get three. It's never been done before. It's like, why do you want this so bad? Because you want history.
Yep.
You want to lock the book, throw it away, keep the key, and, you know, basically I think he's already on house money for his career in the NFL. But, I mean, a three-peat, four titles, 6 years, you've solidified yourself basically with the greatest to ever do it.
Yeah.
It's Tom Brady and then it's you. I think you still have groundwork to go. But this seems like one of those titles that it seems like it's solely for Pat. Like, at the end of the season, if they do win it and they're celebrating in New Orleans on the dome or on the field in the dome, and it's like, we just really want to give this one to Patrick. He was really dialed in for a three-peat. He really wanted it. I could see that after last night because he was a dad taking his kids to see Santa for the third straight year.
Yeah, right, yes.
Get in line.
Yep, yeah, exactly.
Ask
do
him
your
what
thing,
you want,
right, and let's
then,
move on.
All right, let's go.
Yeah, because he was dialed
give
in.
Give me a Christmas
morning. And so hearing that from numerous people last night around the organization was pretty cool to hear. And,
yeah.
And I think that's a big deal for this one because if you're a Philadelphia Eagle fan right now, the last thing you want is Patrick Mahomes dialed in. The last thing you want is Patrick Mahomes going, all right, it's time to mess some things up. It's time to go out there and to get this three-peat. And for me, I just look at it is like, okay, Patrick Mahomes in the game, Tom Brady in the booth. And I said to somebody last night with the organization, I said, if he wins this thing, do you think Tom Brady will crown him as the greatest of all time? And the person said to me, how can he not at this point in time?
Yeah.
How can he not pass the torch? Like, I got to be honest with you. If Tom Brady is, quote unquote, this great guy that everybody thinks he is, right? And I'm sure he is, and he doesn't have to do this to be a great guy, but for me, he does. You pass that baton.
That's all
Patrick
that matters.
Yeah, right. No, you pass. if he passes, I want that passing of the baton where Tom Brady says at the end of that game, you know, we'll hear the Jim Nance call of three-peat, it's a Patrick, you know, something like that. And I think for Tom Brady's sake, if he were to say, and with that win, I now consider Patrick the greatest of all time. That goes a long way. That will be the story coming out of the Super Bowl. It won't be the game. It will be that Tom Brady passes the torch. And he has the opportunity to do that, to move that game forward. Because some other folks were saying last night, too, to me, what are they going to say about us when we win this? What are they effing going to say about us when we win this one right now?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of fire that is driving this organization from a lot of different people that I spoke to last night that want this thing so effing bad, Dusty, and they're about ready to do anything to run through a brick wall to get this third straight Super Bowl because they want to shut everybody up.
I still think time is on Mahomes' side to be considered the GOAT, like to be considered crowned. the time is also on Tom Brady's side to be an announcer. I don't know. Like, I would assume that if he was going to hang it up, he would have already said so, and he would have been like, look, I tried to do it. It didn't work out. It is what it is. I'm going to focus
on. You would do
up.
Anything for $40 million a year, right? No matter how good you were, right?
I don't care if I had to travel 2 days a week and have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, take two Ubers to do my job.
That's right.
But, like, the thing is, like, that's where I think this whole thing is. I don't think it's necessarily a shot or a negative take. I just think that, like, Mahomes is 29 years old, and if he wins this game, he's got four titles, and he's got all the time in the world to be the GOAT and to surpass him. I know what he's doing right now is a massive accomplishment that's never been done before, but no one's ever won seven before either,
right.
And no one's set the records Tom Brady has set. That's not saying that Mahomes isn't considered. I mean, I think we could see it. I think the picture is being painted in front of us of, like, yeah, eventually we're going to get there. And I mean, I don't know, man, how many they can keep winning, but this is three in a row. I never thought they'd win one in my lifetime, let alone back-to-back,
yeah.
Let alone three total in 5 years. And I think that if you look at where we can go in this future of the NFL with how good they make it look and how easy – I mean, they went 15-2.
Yeah, I know.
On the midst of a three-peat. So it's like he's going to have time to continue to fall into this because, again, he's 29. Quarterbacks don't necessarily hit their prime until they're about – between 30 and 33. So he's still got, what, one, two more prime years left?
Yeah, maybe.
So,
yeah.
I mean, even if he doesn't win one next year and he goes a couple years, hell, Tom Brady went 10, still won 7.
Can you establish yourself as the GOAT and then add to your resume and become an even greater GOAT? Like, because I think that's where we're going with Patrick Mahomes. You know, I think you could establish yourself winning three in a row as the GOAT and then just add on top of that resume.
Was Jordan the GOAT after three?
I don't know. I mean, no. Bill Russell won 8. We never had these conversations because this didn't exist.
So Jordan won the GOAT until he did a double three-peat?
I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know because, again, this did not exist. We didn't sit around and bloviate on radio and social media about who the greatest of all time was. We just kind of enjoyed the ride back in the day, and it was a lot of fun.
And that sounds nice.
You know, it really was, right? Like, that's the message that I've gotten from a lot of people. Sean Sharif, one of our former coworkers, is here down in Dallas now, and he goes, you guys are living the dream, man. I go, yeah, we are. And sometimes it takes people from the outside to remind us that we're living this dream of Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. And I've been telling people that for this entire run. We've got to enjoy the moment, enjoy what you're in at the time. Do not worry about what's coming. Do not worry about what didn't happen. You enjoy that moment. And I think it gets lost, and sometimes you need to reel that back in and realize, hey, we're at the Super Bowl for the third consecutive year. This is a football team that's probably better than any other football team we've seen. We got a quarterback that's dialed in and ready to go. And I'll tell you what, man, these folks down here in New Orleans just keep coming up to us and talking about you're living the dream. You're living the dream. Some people also say we're tired of you, but a lot of people are like, God, you guys are living the dream right now. And we are, and the dream's going to get even bigger on Sunday when Patrick Mahomes gets that Patrick and we have three straight championships and we're raising that Lombardi. And I'm not calling it the Tom Brady trophy. We're raising that Lombardi trophy for the third consecutive year. Last night fired me the F up. I know they're fired up and ready to go, and all you all should be fired up and ready to go because this team is ready to go knock off the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, and Matt Nagy made a deal with me that I hope he holds up his end of the bargain because it could be sweet. We're broadcasting live from Radio Row in New Orleans. Thanks to our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of your Kansas City Chiefs. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Drink responsibly. Coming up yesterday, there was a massive announcement in the NFL regarding one of its greatest players that could possibly make Bob think there just might be a chance he could be a Chief. Why not? You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. All right, diving right back into it on a Tuesday. Is it Tuesday?
Tuesday. I know,
Tuesday.
I'm out of town on a Tuesday. But Jen's coming down on Saturday. So
double dip.
Once you guys move out, Veronica Vaughn's coming to town.
Yeah, no, she's not.
Yeah. But Jen is.
Yeah, it'd be pretty cool if she was. Yeah. That's great. Yeah, we were talking about that last night. Mac was like, you know, it's Tuesday tomorrow, right? I'm like, yeah, cool. He goes, but for Bob, he's out of town. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Out of town on a Tuesday.
Yeah, you know.
Yep. Well, those nice ladies at the bar the other night.
Whoa. Oh, man. No, last night, opening night in the media, white jumpsuits again. That's what we always get. They were awesome. We called it. We said they were going to have a new sweatsuit combo. But no, it was great. Got to meet some interesting people that we'd never met before. Maggie Sajak.
Yeah.
Great person. Fantastic. Also, Mac is my proof. I do want to say this real quick. As we were walking out, there were a ton of people going left and right, forward and backwards. We're walking. I look over. Had already talked to Maggie earlier that night, shared a conversation. Obviously, my family's big Wheel of Fortune fans. She's Pat's daughter. I was like, hey, my grandmother was on the show. Loved the show.
Oh, was she really? That's awesome. I didn't know.
Nah, true story, man. She won $66,000.
How much did she actually get?
Probably 25.
Yeah, right.
And a trip to Turks and Caicos.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so awesome. She was on there. It was on Mom and Me Week.
Yeah. Dana Wright was on the Price is Right, too.
Yeah, well, she doesn't hold coin on this story. So told Maggie that story real quick. And then as we're walking out, leaving, you know how clustered it was.
Oh, it's a mess, yeah.
Sardines.
Literally. And what do we get, Mac? She looks over, she smiles, waves, says, hey, have a good night, see ya.
Yeah. And she initiated it. It was not you. She looked over at you and said, hey,
duh.
Yeah. I didn't know Pat Sajak had a daughter, let alone she was at the Super Bowl. But you're a wheel guy, so I
big
you know,
wheel guy.
Yeah, big
wheel. Third wheel guy.
Uh-huh.
Driving the first wheel last night, though, baby. We met the sketch guy, the
Sup brother.
Sup brother.
Met Tuesday, that guy Tuesday. As well. That was awesome.
Bob's
very
like,
cool.
You guys are geeks. But we also met C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
And that's where we start tonight.
Sports.
I mean, this is, I guess it's sports, right? Right. But, like, the C.J. Gardner-Johnson thing was funny. You know, I've told the story of our friend Gene Watson, the assistant GM of the Chicago White Sox, right? And so I saw C.J. Gardner-Johnson with this big White Sox pendant on, right?
That's
like
right.
This big diamond-studded Chicago White Sox pendant. So I use that as kind of the, hey, I know some guys with the White Sox. You got a second. He's like, okay. And so we started talking to C.J. Gardner-Johnson, and we're going to play this back for you here in a second, Nathan. I want you to listen all the way to the end and listen for the pause.
Be like, I'm only doing this interview because of the White Sox.
I don't know about that. I'm only doing it because of the White Sox, I guess.
CJ, this game means a lot, man. Patrick Mahomes, the offense is known for the Chiefs, but also the defense. What's different about this year for you guys?
I guess the scenery change, I guess.
Yeah.
The scenery.
Yeah, what do you know about, when you go to the preparation of the Chiefs, they're the standard, right, of the NFL? I think you would say that, but you come from the NFC trying to match that standard as well. What do you do in this game?
Be yourself, do what Eagles do, and just understand that it's the next big game because you know, it's the top of the mountain. You got to understand, you got to be where your feet are and trust your teammates and trust your coaches and do what you got to do.
What do you guys do this week, man? Like, I mean, for us, it's boring at times. I'm sure for you, it's kind of boring at times. Like, how do you kill the time, get ready for that game, and kind of keep it all, like, composed at the same time?
Extra film, extra sleep, extra recovery, and a little extra downtime to get your mind right because you understand where you're playing at.
So you hang out at all in New Orleans? You get to go out and see the Tanners and all business?
Curfew at 7 o'clock at night.
No way, really? Yeah. Wow.
You got to get out of here.
Well, got team functions, but.
Yeah.
Between 7 to 9, I think, but
is the head coach going to let you see Kendrick at halftime, or is that a no-go?
I'll be honest with you, I don't really care.
Fair enough. All business,
really
right?
Yeah, and I don't care if Lil Wayne were to perform. It doesn't matter to me. I got football to attend to.
No doubt.
What's the number one thing you got to do to stop Mahomes?
I don't know. I guess play football.
Thank you, man.
Play football. After a 30-second to an hour-long pause, he said, I don't know. I guess play football.
I think the pause is interesting to me because there's a lot you can dive into a pause, right?
Sure.
Just like if you were to text that, it would have been like, good question. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you got him.
Yeah.
He was quick to every response, right? Like I was like, you asked him curfew. Oh, it's 7 o'clock. I looked at my watch. I was like, it's 7:25. I was like, you got to get out of here. He's like, well, team functions. Mm-hmm. Quick on that.
Right.
Right. Hey, Kendrick Lamar at halftime. These athletes, they love Kendrick they love the debate. Is it Kendrick? Is it Drake? Somebody asked Justin Reed that as well. And, he's like, honestly, I don't care. I don't even care if Lil Wayne. And then it's, how do you stop Patrick Mahomes? And at that point, you and I looked at each other like, is he going to answer?
Right.
And then he's like, I don't know, play football, and we both just lost it. I don't know if you, like, hate us for that, but I didn't know any other reaction to you than to laugh, because I was like, man, you've been witty, you've been great, you've been perfect as an interview.
Right.
And then your question of, well, how do you stop Patrick Mahomes? And I think there's two things here. One, no one in the world of the NFL, no one in the F knows.
No one knows.
Two,
no.
I think at that moment, his conscience caught him.
Because mm-hmm.
I think he was going to be like, you know, and again, I don't know what he would have said. I'm ad-libbing here. But maybe he says something like, I don't know, but we're gonna do something. And then it's like, hang on, little guy. maybe don't say anything. Remember that quote that Nick Sirianni gave you guys when you walked out here? Just stay like vanilla. Just
right.
Don't give him anything. It can be fun. It can be interesting. But when they ask you those types of questions, veer to the left. And it was like he was so quick and to the point every time. And then how do you stop Patrick Mahomes? Play football.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Nathan, can you run that cut again for us?
I got football game to attend to.
No doubt. What's the number one thing you got to do to stop Mahomes?
I don't know. I guess play football.
That's right.
Less than four, almost 4 seconds. I timed it. Almost 4 seconds of a pause where he, and that's a long time. Like when you're having a conversation and somebody pauses, one, two, three,
and
four.
I guess listening back, the one thing is also something that could, like, you know, bounce you back and forth. Like, what's the one thing? But then if you say one thing,
yeah,
you know, stop him from throwing, you know, on third down. Okay.
But these guys are so good with their canned answers, right? Like, they go through all the media stuff, and they know what to say, and more importantly, what not to say in these type of situations. But to hear that yesterday, I thought the silence was deafening in that one, where he actually paused and went, it could be what you were saying, which ain't a bad way to approach it, or he just didn't know what to say. It wasn't like it was a gotcha type of question. It was, how do you stop Patrick Mahomes? Everybody's right. been asking that question now for years. And I thought that was a real answer last night by C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Like,
sure.
I mean, everybody's tried. Everybody's attempted. Everybody's gone out there and tried to find a way to stop this unbelievable quarterback. And literally nobody has had an answer for stopping Mahomes. Now, Tampa could say they had an answer. I would say we didn't have an offensive line. It was me, Dusty Mack, and two others, and Nathan, and somebody else, and maybe Cody,
right.
that were playing offensive line that day against the Tampa Bay Bucs in that Super Bowl. That's how they were able to stop Mahomes on that day. But when they're healthy, when they're fresh, when they're ready to go, and they got all their guys, it's a very tough task. And so I thought that was a very, very telling pause and answer by C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who was just rapid fire with everything. How do you stop Mahomes? Yeah. We're trying to figure that out, sir. Thank you.
What's the one thing you do to stop Patrick Mahomes? There's too many to say.
I don't know what to do.
And see, that's the thing, too, is if he tries to play the nice guy route and he tries to be the guy that's like, oh, yeah, you know, there's many ways you can stop him. You know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Someone's going to take that clip. They're going to cut it right there, and it's going to be C.J. Gardner-Johnson says there are many ways to stop Patrick
That's
Mahomes.
That's exactly right, yeah.
Even though he went dot, dot, dot and said more,
yep.
him doing that, it's fine. It's I'm okay with it. It was a laugh. We had a good rapport with him.
Yeah.
As soon as we were done, you know, dabbed it up, he walked off, and then we carried on throughout the night. But a very interesting thing about this business is that expressions and pauses, which can be the same thing,
mm-hmm.
can literally say more than a 5-minute interview.
Right.
Which, I mean, that whole time sitting there going back and forth and then immediately just play football, which is great.
Yep.
Like, I mean, it works out for everybody.
Because that really is the easy approach. And if you're a guy in the NFL and you're going into a game against anybody scared or worried or afraid
yeah.
or thinking you're not going to be able to beat them, well, then we know what the answer to that question is. You're not going to beat them. You just got to go out there and play free and clear.
You go in there with the mind that's foggy. You're going to go in there and you're going to leave already with a
yep.
with a foggy mind and a loss. So we are live on Radio Row in New Orleans, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Kansas City is gearing up for their third straight title, and Academy Sports and Outdoors has everything you need to rep your team during their historic run. Maybe a historic run that's not going to show up anywhere as we gear over from a team that is successful and another team that we were talking to in Philadelphia who's been successful and one that's not, but was kind of trending differently because they had finally made themselves relevant again. That is the Cleveland Browns.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you that missed it yesterday, one of the most prolific and one of the most bona fide studs and certified G's in the NFL. Myles Garrett says, I want out, released a letter. I sent you the AI thing. I don't know if you watched
it. Oh, it was fantastic. But it was true. And none of that AI was wrong.
No, it, it's so funny. Every time that handle sends those out, I'm like, Bob, here you go.
Yeah.
And so Myles Garrett wants out.
Yeah.
From what we've seen from Jacinta Anderson, what we've seen from, like, Diana Rossini and reports from people that are inside these walls and talking to these people, this ain't going to be a fun divorce.
Yeah.
This is going to be a very, I'm getting the kids and the dogs and the money, and you will be paying all of that. And it's like, no, you filed. I'm not giving you anything. But it sounds like it's going to go back and forth, back and forth. Myles Garrett wants out. Cleveland, again, back to being the mess and the laughing stock of the NFL. For a while, it was Carolina. They seem like they've finally figured out their quarterback. They'll start trending upwards. Cleveland finds himself back in the residency of where they've always been, which is the bottom of the pit of the NFL because of terrible ownership, and they've wasted Myles Garrett's career.
Yep.
They've wasted Nick Chubb's career, who broke his leg for them.
Yep.
They got to the playoffs, had a Coach of the Year award twice.
Messed up by getting rid of Baker Mayfield.
Blew it all.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Baker goes to Tampa Bay, and he's done well. And now you have, I don't know, in my opinion, Bob, the best defensive player in the NFL the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Wanting out of your organization because you've wasted his time.
You've wasted his time. And I don't have a problem anymore with athletes asking to get out of bad organizations. Bad organizations need to be shamed. They really do, because there are too many good organizations, but there are so many bad organizations out there where players get drafted by. And that's, you know, that's the beauty of the NFL and Major League. You get drafted and whatnot, and then you're, you know, there for a couple of years, and then you can, you know, move on once you reach your free agency. But a lot of guys don't reach free agency in the NFL because the average lifespan of an NFL player is 3.5 years. It just doesn't last that long. And so before you know it, boom, your career is over. And it's the Saquon Barkley effect that we're seeing right now, where he finally reached free agency and got the hell out of New York and went to a winning organization. And don't think guys don't talk throughout the NFL or throughout baseball to each other about, hey, we are doing this, we are doing that. And Myles Garrett, who's one of the great players in the NFL, top 10 player in the NFL, maybe top 5 player in the NFL, right? You look at a guy like that who's busting his ass, destroying everybody, doing his job to the best of his ability and then some, and he's with an organization that is complete and total garbage. Like, the Cleveland Browns are a mess, a disaster, and they're an embarrassing stain on the NFL. And I think, honest to God, the league should take over that team just like baseball did with the Expos back in the day, find a new owner and run that team the right way, because whoever owns that team right now is a clown show. And so Myles Garrett says he wants out. I don't blame him. You only have one NFL career. Do you really want to spend it in Cleveland? Like, who wants to spend their NFL career, or any time for that matter, in Cleveland, Ohio, losing all the time, and it's cloudy, and there's no good food? Like, I just don't understand why anybody would be mad with Myles Garrett for wanting a trade. It's the smart thing to do. And I said to you guys yesterday, and you know how I am on acquiring players and whatnot, I go, that's one I'd be willing to make a move for. Myles Garrett is one that I would be willing to go out there and trade some future collateral to bring him into the mix here in Kansas City. He's only 29 years old, clearly playing at a very high level. And, boy, if you had Myles Garrett in on the defensive line, because, you know, Chris Jones is going to get closer and closer to the end. Charles Omenihu is going to get closer and closer to the end. And one of those things we talked about yesterday was how great this organization is on backfilling, right, and being ready for the next and being ready for when this guy moves on and backfilling this guy. Myles Garrett, to me, fits that bill. Will they get him? I don't think they'll go out and get him, obviously, because they don't have a top 5 pick or something like that you can give up for Myles Garrett. But, man, I think this is going to be the greatest offseason saga that we see in the NFL. And if Cleveland doesn't do him right, the NFL should contract that franchise.
Yeah, you got to look at where the teams are money-wise. I think top 5, you've got New England, Washington, the Chargers are another team that's up there as well. Arizona, I think, is in one of the top 5 in cap space. Cowboys look to be the favorites when it comes to the odds, 4-1. Commanders, 5-1. That's a great team. I mean, Washington makes all the sense in the world. I think there's another thing, too, when it comes to this Cleveland Browns situation with Myles Garrett, which is not just the team, but also maybe what the future is of the NFL draft. Like, who's to say, like, with them having the number 2 overall pick, where we know Tennessee's probably going to take a quarterback, I would think, unless they, you know, trade for one and trade out of that. But I don't see that happening. I think they're going to take a quarterback with the first pick. But it's like, maybe he saw the talent, was like, there's nothing out there that's going to turn this franchise around.
Right.
This franchise is still in love with the weirdo.
Right.
And he's probably going to come back. And
now they're talking about Justin Tucker being added in.
Okay. I don't think that's the thing. No. I think you watched too much of that AI video.
Oh, was it?
So, no, it's one of those things where – you know, I think he saw the future, and he's like, this team has no chance at winning because there's nothing in the draft that's going to make this team win. There's nothing that shows me any sort of promise that lets me believe this team wins. Look, as much as I would love to have him on the Chiefs, it's never going to happen. I think it'd be awesome, obviously, the thought process of it and to make it a reality by speaking it into existence. But, look, he's going to go somewhere that has a lot of money, that's able to spend because of what he is and the commodity that he can bring to the team. And to me, Washington does make sense, right? Like, their defense struggled this year. He's a high prolific player that there is a good quarterback, a, you know, potential MVP quarterback. Hell, he got to the NFC Championship in his rookie season.
Right.
And we know somebody different is going to win the NFC East next year. It happens every year.
Yeah, right.
So Washington has a chance. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, man. I mean, he is such a great player that got drafted to such a terrible team, who was, you know, the leader of that defense. And 2 years ago, that defense was up there with Kansas City as one or two in the league.
Yep.
And then a year later, it's over and you won out.
And that's how fast it ends, too. And I think that's another reason why you enjoy this ride, because last year people were talking about Cleveland at this time being good, and here we sit with the Browns being a 2-15. The Chiefs do have the third best odds, according to Bovada, to get, not that that matters, the odds of,
offshores,
you know, going, the odds of, you know, where these guys are going. I love when they put the odds out. The odds, like, they're just making that stuff up. It's
always
not
the Chiefs.
Yeah.
The top three.
Yeah, like it's not true. You know, they're just getting some money and juice on it, and it's fun to talk about. But, you know, but Myles Garrett coming here would be great. It would be awesome. But I really do appreciate Myles Garrett, because a lot of times you hear, do these guys even care about winning at times, right? And they do. These players do care about winning, and they don't want to waste their careers being with losing organizations. And that's why some people have taken less money. It's why Patrick Mahomes continues to kind of renegotiate his contract. Chris Jones could have made more money on the open market. Travis Kelce could have made more money, you know, on the open market. But the good news is, with the Chiefs, after this season, there will be money coming off the books. You know, Justin Reed's a free agent. Trey Smith's a free agent after this season.
You know, Mahomes is going to
renegotiate. Bolton's a free agent after this season, right? Like, so there's a lot of money that is kind of coming off the books, and you're right, Patrick. Hey, we got a chance to get Myles Garrett. Patrick, are you good at doing this? Fine, let's go do it.
Yeah, I just won my fourth Super Bowl in 7 years. Yeah, I have nothing to play for.
Yeah, fine, take a little money, let's go win another.
Then if you want to get, like, an early morning chub, your defensive line would be Myles Garrett, Charles Omenihu, Chris Jones, George Karloff.
Let's go.
I mean, one can wish, right?
Just go do it.
You can have
Why
a dream
not?
You don't want to wake up from. That'd get Mac ready to go every day.
Oh, Mac.
I mean, do you see the pressures this team has forced up by everybody?
Do you see what their expected DVOA is with Myles Garrett?
Yeah, one.
No.
It would be sick. Just for once in my life. Have they ever had, like in this, like, I guess DeAndre Hopkins was a big name. I'm trying to think.
Like a big-name free agent signing the Chiefs. Yeah, Chris Jones last year, I think.
Yeah, you know. I mean, that's, yeah, like, that's somebody not, that wasn't – he was in-house, but,
I mean,
like –
big names, Darrell Revis, Terrell Suggs, but not,
yeah,
like –
yeah, but they're,
not
like, they were
like legitimate guys in their prime.
Yeah, in their prime, no.
Like, say a guy played his first 4 years on his contract. Like, say –
well, Justin Reed, I mean, was a nice addition after his first contract.
Yeah, nice. Tyron
Matthew was a good addition, but, again, not like – nothing's a Myles Garrett. But that's where you go broke, though, at two as an organization, when you spend – dumb money in free agency. We see it all the time. They make these bad decisions and these bad contracts. And
he is 29.
I know he's 29.
Right,
right
at the edge.
Right there. But I still think I've watched the guy play. You know,
like, yeah, I've seen that man shirtless. I think I'd roll the dice with 29.
I would too. Yeah, like I would absolutely say, you know what? The next 3 years, I'm going to roll with Myles Garrett. Fine, let's roll with Myles Garrett. But I also think he's one of those guys too, which general managers will tell you, you have to know that when you pay a guy, they're still going to go out there and earn their money. They're not going to get fat and happy. Myles Garrett doesn't appear, and I don't know Myles from Adam, but he doesn't appear to be the type of guy that is going to go out there and crack open an egg cream and sit there and drink soda all night and not do anything and not get ready for, you know, his game or whatever the case may be. Like, I think Myles Garrett is one of those guys that when you pay, they work harder to get better.
No doubt about it. And don't forget today, Danan Hughes on the show. The owner and CEO of the Chiefs on the show, Clark Hunt, Gerald McCoy on the show, Josh Briscoe on the show, all of that today, sooner than later. And don't forget, you can watch all of this. You can watch the show on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Twitch, presented by our partners at Technology Group Solutions, the official IT provider of your Kansas City Chiefs. And we're broadcasting live from Radio Row in New Orleans, thanks to our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of your Kansas City Chiefs. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Drink responsibly. There are bands that everybody wants here in the NFL, what they could be. Plus, we get into maybe some tough Tuesdays at the end of the year. Our last tough Tuesday, guys. You listen to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports. We're right back here on Radio Row, live in New Orleans. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey with you as well, bringing you the knowledge to the Kansas City folks. Hopefully everybody out there is having a good time. They 100% had that cold front come through. This is how geeked out I am on weather. I don't know what it is. I got up this morning and I looked at the weather in Lee Summit. 31 degrees, and they said a cold front moved through. They said at least at one point, this is how you know you're not in the Midwest anymore, Dorothy. They said at one point yesterday it was like 65 degrees in Lee Summit.
Yeah.
And at like one point by the end of the night it was going to be 32.
Ugh.
So it's just like, we'll be back, Daddy. That's for sure. As we get back, it's back to reality because it's 67 degrees outside right now. Loving it.
High of 74 today.
That's right. Let's go sunbathe on the rooftop. But no, it's today is another day that we storm along here in this event. I can't believe it's only Tuesday. It feels like it's Thursday.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right?
I woke up this morning. I was like, damn, it's Tuesday. That was just Monday yesterday. All right. All right. We got some time to do that. Tonight's our I was talking to some buddies last night. Ron Hughley, who was there last night, ran into him.
Right.
And he's like, so what's the week? He goes, you guys got that early start. And
that's
I was like, that 2 o'clock's nice out here this time of year. He's like, yeah, ain't going to lie. It's pretty cool. I was like, but he's like, your early start. I was like, yeah, it's like Monday night we have this tonight. And he's like, yeah. He's like, us too. We got to go back and put everything together and whatever. And then I was like, Tuesday's our media appreciation dinner or whatever they call it.
Yep. Media party. Yep.
Yeah. And then after that, it's kind of like, all right, the week's starting to kind of fill itself out. You just need a couple of things here and there. Wednesday night might go jazz clubbing. Thursday night might go hurricane drinking. And then Friday, who knows if we see 5 p.m.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We got a 6:45 dinner reservation, so we
got
to make it.
Oh, it got moved?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was 9:15.
No, we were not making that. There's no chance.
Did you think that, too? Did you know it was 6:45?
Yeah.
I thought, wait, it was 9:15 originally?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Bob goes, do you think you can make it to 9:15? I was like, Bob, I don't think you understand how I go.
Yeah, no,
and he's like, well, you don't understand how I go either,
right,
Dusty.
Yeah, 9:15 we ain't making 9:15. Tomorrow for me. Yeah, we ain't making 9:15. No, there's no late nights for me at this age. But so 6:45, got it moved. Thank you, Jasper, very much for taking care of that and getting that all figured out and moved around and whatnot. Yeah, so Friday night. Yeah, once Friday 10 o'clock comes, you won't see me until Monday. So it's going to be a lot of fun though down here over the weekend. I think
you're not going to make the game Sunday.
A lot of people are coming down, and there's no guarantees. It's New Orleans, right? I mean, look, who knows what's going to happen between now?
Yeah,
and then.
You thought I was in a gutter this morning.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't know. We thought Dusty was dead. We had no idea.
He thought I was.
He left with some bum down there in the French Quarter. I don't know what happened, and all of a sudden,
hey, they're nice
showed
people.
Up.
Like they're, you know, they're really nice, man. I'll tell you what,
yeah, the best.
Yeah.
So here we sit, and as you mentioned, a lot going on from a show standpoint. Clark Hunt will join us at 8:15 today,
right.
And you know, obviously a lot to talk about with the owner of the Chiefs and whatnot, and
you
so
sign your hat.
I'm excited about that. Do you think he'll like the hat, you know?
Of course. Like, is there anything Chiefs Mac could have could go to the hotel now, slap a Chiefs logo on that polo, he'd be like, they're not really our colors, but damn, that's a good-looking polo.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Oh, yeah. So, I got the hat on today. My friend Paul got these a couple of years ago because I got sailor caps for us with the Chiefs logo. Now I've started to see them. More and more people are popping up with these hats.
I would wear
hats,
one, but
right?
I can't now.
Why?
Because
I've got
like,
it.
It's
yeah,
your thing.
It's,
like,
it's already stolen, right?
Yeah, I can't do it. Like, props to you, man. It is a Tuesday, so let's get a couple of tough Tuesdays here. We talked about one on the other side of this break or before this break. Cleveland football, man, tough Tuesday today because you're back, man. You're back to being the bottom. You're back to going to be picking one or two every single year. Mm-hmm. Will you screw it up again? Will you add to that list of that guy who's got a quarterback jersey with every single guy's name that's been there for the last 20 years in that Cleveland organization, from McCoy to Couch to Max Boy, Manziel to Baker to Flacco, you get
and all the names you don't even remember
right.
when you start to look at Whedon.
Brandon Whedon
was 38 years old in
35
college.
35-year-old rookie.
He'd still be playing if he was the NIL day. Brandon Whedon still be in Oklahoma State, right?
That guy had a hose. He got drafted by the Yankees for his arm.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, if you get drafted by the Yankees in the early rounds and don't make it, then you go back to college and then get drafted to be a quarterback. for the Cowboys.
That guy failed in two sports.
That's right.
I failed in none. Well, all. That guy failed in two.
Not only that, but two major organizations did not want him, the Yankees or the Cowboys.
Right.
So maybe tough Tuesday. Brandon Weeden.
Brandon Weeden's waking up this morning. What the hell did I do? Why am I getting talked about?
We got a tough Tuesday coming up. We got a Philly host that's right next to us. Kansas City, I want to be serious with you real quick. I want to be dead serious with you guys. This host from Philly who does midday radio in the city of brotherly love thinks that Philadelphia is going to win the Super Bowl 42-14.
He'll be on the show later.
That's right. I am not making this up. It is going to be a tough Tuesday for him because I am going to remind him about what happens when you make these egregious Jesus takes.
Right.
I don't think Patrick Mahomes has been blown out more than four times in his career. One time in the Super Bowl, but his offensive line was depleted.
And he was hurt, too, in that game, too,
Well, we'll have this young man who was just – and we were looking at Hugh Douglas, who joined us yesterday. And I looked over when he said the take, and I kind of gave him those crazy eyes, and he was just like, oh, no, man. I was like, all right, dude, like, get your boy in check, because I hope you know what he's doing right now, because it ain't going to be that way.
Doesn't it feel like this week, and it's only Tuesday morning, but this week all the talk has been about the Eagles and how they're going to beat the Chiefs, like – I just get this feeling like it's going to continue all week long and everybody's going to talk about the Eagles. And by the time we walk out of here at 9:58 on Friday morning, never to be seen from again, we're going to hear a lot of people picking Philadelphia to win this game. And then Sunday's going to happen and the Chiefs are going to win the football game. And everybody's
right.
going to be like, oh, I didn't see that one coming. Because I think there are so many people subconsciously just rooting for the Philadelphia Eagles or anybody right now to beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
Anybody but KC is the mindset of what at least it sounds like.
Yeah.
We did have an interview with Diana Rossini yesterday where she absolutely roasts me. It's hilarious. We'll play that later for the show. And then another tough Tuesday, Bob, Creole food in the city with us three here.
Yeah.
15 pounds easily has been put on by your boy with eating po' boys and oysters and gator bites. And we still have to get the etouffee. We still have to get the beignets. We still have to get the
beignets after. I was thinking today after the show we go beignet hunting. Go to Cafe Du Monde and get some beignets and get some powdered sugar all over our faces and drink some coffee and eat some fried dough.
Please.
Like it doesn't get much better than that.
I want some etouffee and I want some beignets. But those are my tough Tuesdays. I don't know if you guys have any other tough
Tuesdays. I do. The rest of the NFL right now that doesn't have the opportunity to have Patrick Mahomes as the quarterback, because if you don't have Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback, you're kind of straying, and you got that stray eye going, is there anybody out there that can get us like Patrick Mahomes? But more importantly, tough Tuesdays as we continue to roll on all of those teams that are going to be looking for a quarterback, because there just isn't one out there. Like, this offseason is going to be very difficult for a lot of teams, and you had mentioned last night to me about Saquon Barkley, Jameis Winston. We got Jameis. We'll hear from Jameis Winston coming up as
what
well.
A guy.
Awesome dude. Like, he asked Saquon Barkley about, like, a quarterback or whatever
he said. Saquon, I'm a free agent. You think anybody would pick me up?
Yeah, and he's like, New York needs a quarterback.
Like,
I mean, that's cold, right? Like, that's really cold. But that's where it is. There are so many teams that are looking for a quarterback. And I'll be honest with you, Jameis Winston or anybody else that's out there right now, I think you probably go with Jameis Winston. At least your fans would love Jameis Winston and have a good time rooting for Jameis Winston, because that guy is just – he's legit, man. We had a great conversation with him. I said to him last night, I said, can we ask you a few questions? He goes, can I ask you a few questions? I'm like, sure, if you want to interview us, go right ahead. But, I mean, he was fantastic. We'll hear his takes about playing against Patrick Mahomes and all that kind of stuff. Like, I think he's going to be really good on Fox Sports this Sunday for the Super Bowl.
No doubt about it. He's got a career wherever he wants to go.
Yeah,
stay in the NFL and make it entertaining for all of us.
Yep.
Or broadcast the NFL. Could you imagine him and Marshawn Lynch in a booth?
That would be fantastic.
You wouldn't understand anything what's going on in the game, but you would be tapped in.
You'd be laughing your
Absolutely.
Ass off. And that's what it's about, man. They don't take themselves seriously. They have fun, and you enjoy it. That's what it should be.
I think that's how most entertaining shows are. I mean, I don't know what everybody's opinion is on Pat McAfee, but you watch that show and you're like, I would be worn out after one episode because they're just out there like in the hotel room shooting the breeze, like saying what's on your mind. And then you're like, oh, but they're also talking about sports. Like, I would talk to my buddy in like our kitchen. Not
they're
like,
good.
Did you know that in 1995 there were 14 quarterbacks that threw for 15 yards?
Right.
A day? Like, all right, thanks, dude.
Yeah. Max said the other day, McAfee doesn't do enough DVOA.
I don't know what this DVOA thing that he's just leaving.
Never brought it up. The only stat I've ever heard of. But McAfee is great. Like, I hate when people say they don't like McAfee. I feel like people who don't like McAfee, it's different. It's a newer type of entertainment and whatnot. I think he's fantastic. I love watching his show.
He's different, and new man. He's a flash in the pan. So, We talked about that Jameis Winston audio. We'll get to that on the other side, but also want to remind you that we're broadcasting live in Radio Row in New Orleans. I guess we're on Radio Row in New Orleans thanks to our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of your Kansas City Chiefs. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Drink responsibly. Easy to listen to and easy to enjoy is Jameis Winston's interview with Bob Fesco on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.